Hey everybody, Dean Jackson along with Ken Fillmore. KPC Media looks at the first round action in the various sectionals from Northeast Indiana. And Ken, you know what? It's we got a good response and we decided we're going to come back at it. A lot of games taking place, not necessarily any surprises. Maybe Northrop over Carroll at the DeKalb sectional, but I don't see a lot of surprises early after Tuesday night games.
There were some out there. You look outside of our area a little bit when you got Huntington North beating Homestead and that sectional over on our west end of the area. A really good Fairfield team got knocked off by a Northwood team that's down compared to how they've been the past few years, but they know how to win come sectional time.
Okay, so let's just get started. Class 4A, Northrop over Carroll. What can you tell me about that game?
That game, it was a low-scoring, controlled type of contest, and Northrop played the underdog title with pride and came out a little feisty and held down a pretty solid Carroll team. I'd say it's a bit of an upset there, but two of the cold champions in the SAC, Isaac Anderson had 13 points, Sidney Curry had 10, and the Bruins got it done on the defensive end, too, to only allow Carroll to score 31 points.
I want to say that's kind of an upset, but not really.
Yes, I can agree with you there. Just seemed like maybe Carroll would be fundamental, and they've got quality players, and they've played really good people up to this point, which would make them even more battle tested. But the Bruins came through, and have DeKalb next.
We go ahead to the Wawasee 3A sectional, Northwood over Fairfield, as you said. That's a pretty significant surprise. Lakeland falling to West Noble, not really a surprise. Maybe as close as it was as a surprise.
Well, it was a little bit. West Noble made the runs that they needed to, got big plays from a variety of people, but West Noble team that's traditionally perimeter-oriented, they went down into the low post, and David Flores has been a partial, not the biggest contributor, but they went to him in the block, and he converted in a big way, scored 20 points, and had 11 in the fourth quarter, and the Chargers moved on against a rebuilding Lakeland club.
And they, of course, will play Wawasee Friday night. Tippecanoe Valley will take on Northwood in that first game. By the way, we want to go back up to the DeKalb sectional because I didn't mention it. DeKalb will play Northrop Friday night. But there are plenty of games tomorrow as well. Snyder at taking on DeWanger. It's not at DeWanger, it's at DeKalb. And North is taking on East Noble. You want to talk any thoughts on that one? Fort Wayne North has Northside has really struggled this year.
Yeah, Keon Brooks left for LaPorte La Lumiere, and Gary Andrews came back to the high school ranks and as a pretty big rebuilding project ahead of him. You always got to be wary for a team up our way. You got to be wary of a Fort Wayne school's athleticism. But if East Noble can take care of their business, they should be in pretty good shape tomorrow night.
East Noble just does so many things well. They're fundamental. They can score. They can play defense. They've got so many. And, you know, I think the thing to be successful, you have to have role players. We've talked about Ali Ali. I even talked about him being the ultimate role player. But let's not call him a role player. He's kind of the guy that everything circulates around just because that's how he is. He makes everybody better. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. East Noble has guys that play their roles to perfection.
Yes, really, I think a good quality six or seven guys. You go from Ali Ali and Hayden Jones, who plays well on both sides of the ball, their junior point guard. Brent Cox has been their mainstay in the low post. And then you got guys like Nate Dixon, who's a three-point specialist and growing on the defensive end of the floor. And then Michael Bender can hit the occasional three and is a pretty strong post defender. And even go with some of the bench guys like Michael Klein and Gage Erdensberger and Spencer Denton, the freshman. So they've got people that can contribute in a variety of different ways to make them successful.
This is going to be weird to say this, but I don't see East Noble as necessarily flashy. They're impressive. They can be a scoring team, but they're kind of old-fashioned. They're kind of old school in their approach to the game because they play defense, they play smart, they play as a team. It's about possessions.
Absolutely. They'll value the possessions, not get carried away and live and die with possessions, just be effective, efficient, and put together a number of quality possessions and play. Hopefully they play, for their case, 32 minutes of sound basketball. It could lead to a lot of success toward the end of the week.
Okay, moving ahead, we're in Class 3A. We stopped at Lakeland and West Noble. We talked about there. We go to the Garrett bracket of the 3A. I think that's sectional 22. So Concordia falls to Angola tonight, 43-39. Concordia really hung tight. There was a point, and that's the game that I covered for KPC. Concordia hung tight. There was two or three points in the fourth quarter where they had a chance, a real serious chance, to cut it to 1 point. And Concordia, and I didn't put this in the story just because there were so many things to say, but Concordia had a player hit with offensive fouls and back-to-back possessions that really just cut the heart out of their attack. Now, they recouped, and they came after it, but they could never get back. And they only had the lead briefly in that one. And, again, it's a testament to Angola. We talked about their mental toughness. We talked about their system. We talked about just a bunch of guys that will do whatever it takes to win. And Ed Bentley at the game tonight, I asked him, and I said, "Coach, it looked like you had trouble scoring." And he kind of laughed. He goes, "Well, no, it's we don't ever sit down and tell our guys, hold the ball for 5 minutes. But it's about making sure you have the best shot, making the opponent work to defend you." So they score 6 points. No, they scored 7 points in the second and 6 points in the third, or vice versa. But they only scored 13 points in the middle part of the game, second and third quarters. And you just don't think of teams being able to win when they scored just that little. But they did. They just grinded out.
They cherish that situation. I think the way the season's gone, I mean, there were some rough spots. The opener that they rushed to get to play at MTI Center, only 130-26, and they had got routed by a very good Westview team. This was a team that was going to need this entire season to get to where they are now, to where they really get into a grind and cherish the grind and do what they need to do, be in a game down the stretch and do what they need to do to finish off a game, and got themselves in pretty prime position right now.
Angola is a team with 9 seniors. And coaches talk about, you know, the number of freshmen or the number of underclassmen that you have starting always translates to the number of wins, or I should say the number of losses. So I'd have to say that the number of seniors has that same type of corollary, but nobody's ever really said that. Now, let's move ahead to the 2A bracket. Westview, they improve. I think they're 22-5 now after their victory over Central Noble. Prairie Heights, 18-5 over Bremen. Prairie Heights, a very good team. It's kind of sneaking up on us, even though they really aren't sneaking up on anybody at 18-5.
Yeah, they're right now, Prairie Heights, I think John Harrell's website, they're keeping track of the most improved teams in the state, and Prairie Heights is the most improved team in the state from last year, 8 wins, and now they're 19-5. Talked to Tony Everidge afterwards, their coach, and he was he said it wasn't the perfect game, but their defense buckled down when it needed to, especially in the second half, and they took advantage of certain things that favored them and made it work. Had four guys in double figures, and another big game by junior point guard Mike Perkins.
No surprises in the East Side sectional. East Side 54-48 over Canterbury. South Adams, I guess mercifully their season is over after they now fall to 2-21 in a 58-47 loss to Cherubusco. And Cherubusco has shown signs of being a very good team at times.
Yes, they've got some really good guards in Mason Garland and Jackson Paul, but that South Adams game, South Adams had a lead late in the third quarter. And that goes to the ups and downs that Cherubusco's tend to have, but took care of things late in the game, and they got a guy, a junior, I think by the name of Knepel, who was eligible after transferring from Carroll, and his first game was tonight. 6'3 kid, and could help him out the next game and possibly more.
Now we need to talk about the schedules coming up. I keep forgetting to do that. So Prairie Heights will now take on LaVille in the second game Friday. Whitco will take on Westview, and of course the winners will play Saturday night in the championship. For the East Side bracket, two games on Friday, Adams Central and East Side, Bluffton at Busco, and of course championship is on Saturday. That's not always the way it works out, but it just happens that's how it is this year. Now in Fremont, Smith Academy, I believe this is the first sectional they've ever played in. This is the first year they've been eligible for the postseason. Smith Academy falls to Fremont 68-55, Lakewood Park and Hamilton tomorrow night, Blackhawk and Lakeland Christian tomorrow night. No real surprise. Smith Academy just getting used to playing in the tournament.
Yeah, well, actually, this is their second tournament appearance. They lost to Lakeland Christian in their debut last year, and then tonight gave Fremont a battle. Foul trouble became an issue quite a bit for Smith Academy, a team with some athletes, but has some limitations. The game was tied after three quarters before Fremont was able to separate themselves. Eagle senior Tanner Benfelt with 39 points.
Who had big games tonight across these sectionals? Anybody stand out?
Charlie Yoder had a typical day at the office for him. He had 25 points. Elijah Hales had a big stretch to help separate the Warriors from Central Noble. He had 15 points, 6 assists. Flores with 20 points for West Noble. Those were the ones that really stood out.
All right, predictions for coming up for semifinal round games and games tonight?
Lakewood Park, I would say, probably has the edge. Hamilton's got two nice players with the exchange student Marco Stanjocic and senior Bailey Merritt. He left the game against Prairie Heights in the regular season finale. Don't quite know his status. Lakewood Park's in a rebuilding situation, but the Marines have had a tough time stopping anybody. So, got to probably give the nod to Lakewood Park, and then Blackhawk Christian takes on Lakeland Christian in the second game. That's probably going to be all Braves. I like Snyder to beat Dwenger up at DeKalb, and I like East Noble being able to take care of their business against a pretty good following of Knight Nation heading east to Waterloo.
Ken, anything else you want to talk about before we let you go?
I think that covers it. Should be a fun day of basketball, and then we've got exciting semifinal action. That Prairie Heights LaVille game in game two over at Westview should be a terrific matchup.
Schedules permitting, we will give you the post-game commentary and previews all the way to the championships and maybe even a championship review as we continue the podcast. Ken, thanks so much for joining us. This has been a look at the sectionals from KPC Media.